Mary was great four ways to explain the gospel. It will be in the back, and you guys can pick up some of that. It's going to be great. So ties right in with the message of the gospel, the good news that we have victory over sin and death. Don?
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to see you this morning. Now, anybody know what that is? Well, it's a box, but this time of year, if it was under a tree, what would you expect it to be? A Christmas gift. And we come because of the gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what Christmas is about. It's not about the sales. It's sort of like an amazing thing in the United States of America that we celebrate Thanksgiving on a Thursday and thank God for all the great things He has done for us in our lives. And then Friday, we're running out trying to beat other people out to get the bargains on Black Friday. And I know that's, I don't mean that to be funny, but it is. It's strange to me. And then it used to be just Black Friday. Now it's Black Friday week or Cyber Monday or Cyber Monday week. And people are about that. But let us, as the Church of the Living God, remember that we are to walk differently, not because our friends and our families who do not know Jesus Christ are bad in themselves, but we are all sinners. And the good news, the gospel, that's what good news, gospel means, is simply that God sent His Son Jesus. The pre-existent God. If you read John 1:1, you find in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He helped create everything that was created in Genesis 1:1. The heavens and the earth were created by God. Now we worship one God, though He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is one, the three in one. And someone said to me, "Gosh, could you explain everything like that?" No, but one day we will see the one true God. Ours is to have faith and to walk and to let Him transform our lives. This morning, I want us to look, and if you were to study, and hopefully you will follow up and not just look at something I present to you, but that we might hear the voice of God and His message in our lives. And we will be transformed day by day to be like Him. I'm amazed as we go around in the privilege of speaking in the Bay and other areas. We look different. We talk different. Some of us have were born somewhere else. For me, you notice I have an accent. Have you noticed that? Do you think I'm a native Californian? Several shaking their head. But I want you to know that we are family. We have different mothers, but we have the same spiritual Father in the Lord God Almighty. And we have the same blood through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are family. It is not about our accent or how we look or what we do or our educational or socioeconomic level. It is who we are in the family of God. But let's look back at a world that we live in. Technology has transformed us, at least in my lifetime, looks like to another galaxy in the last 40 years. But I want to say to you, we are still in a sinful, materialistic world where without God, people will die and go to hell. But the living God stepped into time and His Son was born. God the Son, in Jesus Christ, in Bethlehem. But we're going to go back a little bit, and I want us to look at Luke. I want to suggest today, as a family, maybe at lunchtime, maybe at dinner time tonight. I don't know what you do, but I, especially if you have children or grandchildren, or maybe it's just a family of one, or you and your spouse, but I want to challenge you today to look at Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. And I want you to begin to look in the Word at what it has for you, for us as a family of believers. Or maybe you're here today and someone just brought you. Sometimes I've had some people, well, my wife made me come, or my husband made me come, or my mom made me come. But I want to tell you, you came because God brought you today. And God has a message for you about the power of the gospel. If you look at Luke chapter 1, you'll see it is a tale not of two cities, but of two cousins, Elizabeth and Mary. And if you read chapter 1, you'll discover how God sent the angel Gabriel to talk to Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth. He was a part of the 18th district of the priest. And every year for the one to go into the Holy of Holies, they would cast the dice, the lot. And usually a man would hope, who was a priest, that once in his lifetime he would go and serve at the temple in the inner getting ready. But this year, it came to Zechariah, who's from way away. He doesn't live in the city, but God speaks in the city. And I want to tell you, God still speaks in the city, in the urban areas. And the temple, and it comes and says, you're going to have a son, and you're going to call him John the Baptist. Well, how can this be? Well, I'm going to make you silent for 9 months to show you the power of God. But he said, my wife's too old. She's an older woman. She cannot bear children anymore. She's still going to have a child. You remember, she's not as old as what Sarai was whenever the promise came to her. You see, nothing is impossible for our God. Do you believe that? He changes people from murderers and thieves and homosexuals and adulterers and whatever you might think badly in your heart towards someone. He can change them and make them born-again believers in Jesus Christ and the children of God. That's what it says in Corinthians, isn't it? It's a tale about Elizabeth, and she is with child, and she hides herself for 5 months. Doesn't come out, it says in chapter 1. Because there was shame. In those days, if a woman couldn't have a child, didn't matter whose fault it was, God found something wrong in their life. So she is with child. Now the angel Gabriel, 6 months later, we pick up, and he comes to Mary, a teenager. I don't know whether are you aware of the customs of betrothal and marriage? Around 13, a girl would have a father of a prospective bridegroom who would come and meet with her dad, and they would discuss a betrothal, an engagement. But it's much different today. If they accepted and a payment was made for dowry because a father would lose a hand in the field, they would come together and have a ceremony, but she'd go back home for 1 year. 1 year. And they were legally like husband and wife, but they've not become intimate. They've not come and consumed the marriage where she goes to live with him. And if she committed a sexual act with some of the man, she could be stoned for adultery because legally she was his wife. So most girls by 15, at the latest 14, were living with a husband. Can you imagine the fears of the young lady when an angel comes and says to her, greetings. Let's look back at the word for just a moment here. And the scripture in verse 26 says, in the 6th month, that is of Elizabeth, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. Now, folks, can you imagine? Now, I suspect, does anybody in this room live outside the San Francisco Bay Area? How many of you have been to some small town way away? Anybody been to Fernley up north toward Eureka? Okay. Can you imagine living in Fernley or another town like that? You're not exactly the urbanite, the things, but you see, God appears in many places, and he comes to Nazareth, to a lower class family, and he speaks to this young girl, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings." Some translations will say rejoice. Some would say hail. H-A-I-L was a greeting in that part of the world at that time in many languages. And he says to her, "You who are highly favored." Beloved, it's a little different sermon. I'm more of a teaching, but I've missed so many things much of my life. I thought for a long time that this girl was an exceptionally well-behaved, good girl. Well, I'm not saying she was a bad girl, but she's just like you and I. Highly favored means that the Lord, sovereign God, in His grace, has saw this young woman who is faithful to God in many ways, but you see, He spoke and chose out of the grace of God to come to her life to be the mother of His Son. It wasn't she was a super saint, a perfect person. Now, I know there are folks in other denominations believe that this is the Virgin Mary who was perfect and she was always a virgin, but I do not believe that's what the Bible teaches. She is highly favored. She has been granted the grace of God to be the servant of God, to be a part of the gospel, and she too must receive the gospel to be saved, just like you and I. So the angel comes and he speaks with her, and he says to her, "Greetings, you are highly favored. You have the grace of God, and the Lord is with you." I want to suggest to you this morning that the Lord is here. It says in the Word of God that where two or three are gathered in My name, there I am also. So God is here. God is always with us. This is a picture of what is to come in the gospel. It is the beginning of telling about Christ coming and be born. He came to Mary that she might receive the gospel just as you and I. Are you with me on that? Keep in mind, she too must be saved, even though she's the mother. I like that song. Have you heard that Christmas song? "Mary, Did You Know?" I mean, I listen to that song. I want to say to you this day, Mary didn't know, but the Spirit of God through the angel Gabriel is going to speak to her heart about the Son of God. Wow. Wouldn't you like to have been there that day? I don't know if anybody else could have heard what Gabriel said to her or not, but I want to tell you, she heard, she questioned. It's like when God began to speak to my heart as an 8-year-old boy. I can remember sitting in the service, and children, my folks made sure I stayed up toward them, sat by them on the same pew. Teenagers sometimes gravitate to the back. In the average church, you got to come early to get a back seat. Is that not true? Visit around. Usually it's emptier, and then it gets fuller as it goes back. But here she was as a teenage young person, and the angel, what would you have done if you had an angel appear to you, especially if you're 13 years old? I got a feeling your eyes were big, and you're wondering, whoa, what did I do wrong? I mean, isn't that the first thing? If you had a policeman stop you on the way home today, you're going to say, what did I do wrong? We talk about stoplights, not go lights. We think negatively. And I think that's a part of humanity and the sinful nature of men and women. But here we go. First of all, I want you to see, she needed to receive the good news that Christ is coming. And man and woman, women and boys and girls have always been saved. Those in the Old Testament were looking toward Christ as we look back toward Christ. It has always been the blood and the faith that we have in Christ Jesus. But second of all, I want you to notice with me here, she was troubled. Read with me. Mary was greatly troubled at His words and wondered what kind of greeting is this might be. Sometimes young people say, "What's up?" Some of it's greeting. Sometimes it's, "What is up going on?" I believe it was that kind of a thing, and she was troubled. And whether she spoke or not, you see, God knows our thoughts, our motivations, I like the song, and our attitudes. Do we come to Him in worship, or do we come to kind of make a show on Sunday, or to impress someone, or it's the right thing to do, we ought to come to worship Him. To give Him our hearts and our lives and lay before Him. And as the Spirit speaks to our hearts, whatever God says, we should always say yes. You can never say no, Lord. Repeat that. You can never say no, Lord. You might say, well, I've done that before. Well, He's not your Lord. If He's your Lord, He is your King. You're like a slave because He has bought us with His blood on Calvary and He owns us, and if we receive Him as our Lord and Savior. So here this girl comes and she's troubled, and God knows your trouble before you and I even know our troubles, our doubts, our fears, our insincerities, our lostness. That's why He comes to us, to convict us, and not to because He's angry at us or mad at us, but He wants us to realize that without Him, we are lost and undone and going to hell. We cannot handle the things of life unless we know Him as Lord and Savior, and the Spirit of God comes into our hearts and lives and dwells when we receive Him as our Lord and Savior. And from the day we receive Jesus as our Lord, the Spirit of God, a part of God Himself, the Holy Spirit who caused the conceiving of Jesus in the womb of Mary, that same Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. I meet some people who say, well, I accepted Jesus as Savior when I was 12 or 13, but I made Him Lord when I'm 20. Impossible. Impossible. If you mean you were saved at 12 or 13 and you didn't grow in the Lord, I'll listen to that. You may be saved. But if you say, I was saved at 12, but I made Him as Lord. You see, Lord is giving control. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it is Lord and Savior. After the book of Acts, it is always just Lord, because it can't be your Lord unless He's your Savior, and it can't be your Savior unless He's your Lord. Are you with me on that? Some people say, where'd you get that? The Bible. And after service and Bible study, if you want to look, we'll look at the Scripture. But here we find Mary. She's receiving that call of God about the gospel and receiving her role and her saving and what God's going to do. She doesn't understand everything. And I've discovered when I follow God, He doesn't tell me everything. It's not like Mission Impossible. You know, where they show you some screen or some DVD. And it used to be back in the old days on the black and white TV, a little mini tape recorder, and it burned up. No, it is Mission Impossible to receive Christ and live the Christ-like life in the flesh. It is not impossible with God for anything in the Spirit. If we give our hearts and lives to Him. And here's a young woman, best she knows how, she's talking. And she's learning about the gospel and the transformation it can make even in a 13-year-old girl. Now, I'm not saying she's saved this day, but I'm saying she's using the light she has to follow God and be obedient, and that's what we're to do. Are you following with me on that? Everyone, it had to be the cross before you're saved, looking toward it or looking back to it. Now, let's go back to the gospel account here. She was troubled. And I want to say to you, every time an angel appears in the Bible, Old or New Testament, you will hear the angel say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. For when you are saved and walking in the Spirit, following the Word's direction, and the Spirit will never, ever, ever lead you to do something that is opposite to what we find in God's Word. If you're walking with God, you'll have an awe and a reverence and sometimes some questions, but you turn in prayer and God takes all that fear away, puts the peace because the Holy Spirit's on the inside. And the Scripture says, when the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, you have found favor. You've got, in God's grace, He's chosen you for a task and a role and to be a part of the kingdom. You found favor with God. Now, I want to ask you, if you're saved, do you realize you've found favor with God? If you're saved, you've got the grace of God in your life. You've got the Holy Spirit of God in your life. How high a favor could we have? And our spiritual address moved from this world to heaven. The retirement plan is out of this world. And I don't mean that to be funny. I'm serious. And the older I get, the more I realize I need to hold looser to the things of the world. Money and things and whatever I have belong to God. The coat I have on, the clothes I have on, the car I drive, the wife I have the privilege of being married to for 46 years, the four children, the eight grandchildren, they all belong to God. An example was my sister said when my middle daughter was going to Africa in a very troubled time in a very troubled country, and my sister said, "You've got to stop her from going there. I've been raising her all her life to do whatever God tells her to do, and I'm not going to stop right now." She's determined God wants her to go there, but she may be killed. She could get killed in San Francisco walking across the street by a bus. I mean, let's be real about these things. We are to follow and be transformed to be like Jesus. And it starts with the gospel. It starts in this account where God prepared someone to prepare the way in John the Baptist. And then miraculously, God himself came to be born of a virgin. And we want to look at this. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus." Folks, Jesus, best translated, is God or Yahweh saves. There's no question in her mind what that was. You're to call him God saves. Now, brothers and sisters, today we have a lot of Jesus. We have a lot of Jesus. We have a lot of different names that people give their children. But they didn't do that in those days. There were similar terms of Joshua and different. But this was very specific that God will save those who trust in him. It was a message to her. Now, two or three things. She's troubled, and as he speaks to her, well, wait a minute. I've never been intimate with anybody. How can that happen? You ever have God press on your heart about doing something, and you say, whoa, how's that going to happen? I don't know how theological that sounds about, whoa, how's that going to happen? But I'm being honest in my own life, what I've said to God through the years. At a 20-year-old young man in college, God began to speak to my heart, and I pushed him away. I just won't go to church anymore. I won't be around that. I'll try, sort of like Jonah, I'm going to go the other direction. You know how that, have you ever done that? And I came home from semester break in January, and my dad's suitcase was right there by the front door. And I said to my mom, "Dad, somebody going somewhere?" She said, you're going to take your dad to Coyne and Campbell Mental Hospital. Other people have folks in their family that are crazy. That was my term then. It's mental illness, has some things. That doesn't happen to my family. And I began to be angry at God. That was on a Friday afternoon. The next Monday, while my dad was in the hospital, my mother became violently ill, and she had chest pains and pains up here and nausea. And I'm not into nursing, but I've soon discovered those are sure signs of heart trouble, heart issues. Took her to the doctor. That evening, she became worse, and my brother was an Oklahoma City policeman working from 11 to 7, the graveyard shift. I called him. We took him. The doctor could only get us in the only hospital in Oklahoma City without an emergency room. Got there about 1 o'clock in the morning. Her heart began to fail. We got her inside, laid her on the tile floor in the emergency. They don't have emergency room at that hospital. It's the only one. Oxygen's on the third floor. They're working on the elevator. So I watched my mother die in my arms. I don't tell you that to be tragic. And then I get up, and I go over in the little seats around here, and I kneel down and I pray, "God, don't let my mother die." She just died. Where was my faith? Where was I willing to listen to God? Now, I've had people say after I tell that story, "So you blame God for taking your mother and your dad being sick?" And I said, "No. No. But I blame myself for not listening to the Holy Spirit's calling me to ministry for 5 or 6 years. I felt like Jonah that morning about 5 o'clock when I couldn't sleep. I felt like I'm a new husband, 6 months, middle of Vietnam, don't have a job, don't have enough to go back to college. You know, when you get down in the boat, down in the sea, down in the belly of the big fish, and you get so far down, everything's up. Are you following with me? Now, I don't know if that's exactly a good way of putting Jonah, but for me it was, because that was my thought. God, I don't have anywhere else to go, and I know what you've been calling me to do, and I have nowhere to go. Not so you'll be good to me, but I'm going to submit every part of my life to you, and I'm your servant. And as I studied this, I remembered that morning. I had no certainty about anything, and I want to say to you, I believe today I don't have certainty for anything. I could die today. Question, am I not only saved, am I walking in the Spirit? Am I obedient to the Lord with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul? I think that Mary, doesn't matter whether you're 13 or maybe you're like her cousin Elizabeth that was probably in mid-50s. Don't know for sure. It's not about how old a woman is or a man is or a child is. Is as the Holy Spirit speaking to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know Him as Lord and Savior? And if you know Him as Lord and Savior, do you just read the Bible when something's going wrong? Do you only pray like I did for a while, only when bad things were happening? Or are you seeking the Lord's will, and as He shows you something in God's Word, do you let Him transform and change you from hating certain people to see through the eyes of Christ and the Holy Spirit and love every man, woman, boy, or girl? You see, God changes us. I heard you had our president, I think, a few weeks ago, President Orge, preach here. Friday night at our graduation this last week, he was sharing about someone who I happen to know who he was. He mentioned Gary, but his friend, a close friend from northern Missouri, had somebody from his corporation come and said, we want to make you a vice president. And he said, here's what you'll do. And he said, I won't accept that. Why? Because this is an area as a Christian I cannot do with ethical and moral certainty, because God's word specifically says I'm not to do that. No problem. They make him vice president. 6 months later, they come to see him and said, here's what you've got to do, the president. He said, before I took this job, I told you as a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm not to do that. I'm not better than anybody else, but God's word says specifically that I am not to do. Could have been something he should do that they didn't want him to do. But he said to the president, said to the vice president, Gary, your problem is you let your religion get in the way of your life. And he said, that's right. Because I don't have a religion, I have a relationship. And my relationship to Jesus Christ, because God is my Father and I'm in the family, I'm Christ-like. That doesn't mean I'm perfect, but the name of Christ deals with integrity and character and purpose of life. And the closer I get to Him, the more I spend time with Him, or as young people say, the more I hang out with Jesus in prayer and study His Word and live what the Word says, He changes my want to, my thinking, my life, and I let Him determine things in my life. One of my young people we've had near our family has said, once he recommitted his life, he said, man, this sucks. I don't like that word. He said, but it's terrible because now I have to pray about who I have dates with. They're all potential wives. I just want to have fun before. Now I've come back and say, God, you choose where I'll go to school. You choose whom I have relationships with. You choose what jobs I have. Your calling could be. See, I believe each one of you are called not just to preach the gospel or be a pastor or a deacon or elder. You are called to fulfill the will of God in your life, just like Mary. She had a calling to be obedient, just like you and I. Look back with me if you would. God sometimes answers our prayers at the times of our doubts and our fears. Sometimes He waits a while, but look and read with me here. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. I got a little ahead of myself, but I want to show you five things about the child she's going to have. Number one, he will be great. Nobody's greater than Jesus, is he? The Son of the living God. Jesus spoke and someone could see. Jesus got some dirt and spit upon it, made mud and put it on their eyes and said, go wash your eyes and you'll be able to see. And they did. He took five small barley loaves and two fish and fed probably 20,000. You said, no, it was like 5,000. Well, that was counting the men, not counting the women and the kids. You see this? He's going to be great. Nobody's greater than Jesus, and we ought to acknowledge him as believer that he is great. Second of all, if you'll notice with me, and will be called the Son of the Most High. He is the Son of God. Third, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. The Israelites are always wanting to go back to the Israelite nation. They're always wanting to run off the Romans. And they were looking for a king, a Messiah to come and throw off the physical restraints. But God was looking for someone who would reign for the not only the Israel of the past, but the Israel of the future. And the Israel of the future, not necessarily, they're not Jews. They can be if they've been saved. But they become Anglos and Chinese and Japanese and whatever people group that you can think of. God makes us the true Israel. And he is our king. He is our Lord. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. It is an eternal kingdom. When we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we become a part of an eternal nation to live forever spiritually. This isn't for a few moments. She asked, how will this be? Mary asked, since I'm this. And God says the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Now, would you look with me for a moment? The Holy Spirit was to come upon her and overshadow her, and a child would be conceived in her womb, not from a man, but from God Himself. For nothing is impossible. If He could take an old woman beyond the ability to have a child on Sarai, and then again and Elizabeth, what little thing is it for him to come and have a God-man to be a baby, to be born and to live and to die on a cross for our sins and rise again the third day? Nothing's impossible. So the Holy One and Jesus was and is and always has been holy. How can, when God says to us, be ye holy for I am holy? Because God lives within us. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible, God. But I want to ask you your response. Here, God has come. He has brought you here today. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart today to say, I love you. And by grace, I can give you eternal life. If the sovereign God is speaking, what will your answer be? Will you be obedient? Mary was. Are you obedient as a believer that when God asks you to witness to someone, when God asks you to teach a class, calls you to a mission trip, calls you to be in leadership in this church, will you say yes? Look at verse 38 with me as we close. She says, I am the Lord's servant. Another translation could be slave. It is the lowest form of a servant. It is the bond servant. She is saying, nothing is too hard a task. Now, folks, for a 13-year-old girl, is much different than a 55-year-old woman. She's had shame, the 55-year-old woman, been made fun of all these years, but she's married. She's got a husband. Mary knows if she accepts and is obedient to the Lord, there could be even death if God does not truly protect her. See, when you're obedient to the Lord, everything doesn't turn out in the world like you think it ought to. Sometimes you face shame, being made fun of. I've even had relatives say to my wife and I, with all the education you've got, why are you going and taking a third cut in pay to move to this ministry? It isn't about money. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. It's not about, don't look up to me or down at me. Just follow me in obeying God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. My question for you this morning and challenge, are you like Mary? And are you saying to God, be it as you say, Lord? If you need to recommit your life and you're a believer today, I wonder if you would bow and just say, Lord, forgive me for not following you, not being obedient to you, but I'll walk with you. There'll be some leaders in the church today before you leave. I pray that you would see some. And if you don't know whether you're a Christian or not, whether you know Christ or not, talk with someone before you leave. Will you let it be unto the Lord today as Mary? Let it be. The power of the gospel transforms. The power of the gospel. You say, well, how did you deal with the power of God? The power to come and have obedient women and men who gave their hearts unto the Lord. The gospel began as Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb. And later we'll see as he was born. But a baby in a cow trough is not the end. It's not the end on the cross. It's not even the end when he rose from the grave and it was an empty tomb. For the power of the gospel is in this room in the lives of believers in Jesus Christ. God lives there and moves there and speaks there. For the only Bible your neighbors and friends and family will see probably is you. Do you walk with God? Do you grow in your relationship? Bow with me. Heavenly Father, you have spoken to our hearts this morning about the power of the gospel in Mary's life and Elizabeth's. But God, more so in some of us who have already received you as Lord and Savior of our lives. I ask, O God, that today we would give ourselves afresh and anew in everything. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.